conversation with you all. There's troubling times and difficulties. I don't call this a worship because I believe worship is when we actually physically together, we assemble, which is what the word for church actually means. Ecclesia is to be the place of assembling. But I do believe it's a good time to kind of gather around word and prayer and meditation so that we can connect to each other in some ways. During the service, we will have a time for prayer petitions, in which case you look in your lower left column or move your mouth over to get it to come up should you want it to unmute your audio when you want to speak. So when the time comes, you can feel free to add a petition or a person to that. So, let us begin as we always begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson for today, this is the fourth Sunday after in Lent, is from 1 Samuel. And it's about the Samuel calling and anointing David to be his chosen successor. The Lord said to the prophet Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I named you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Did you come peacefully?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab, the oldest of the sons, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him too. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. Then Jesse called him. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of you." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Bring him also, for we will not sit down until he comes." So Jesse sent and brought his son, his last son, and youngest one, David, in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came down mightily upon David from that day forth. Samuel then left and went out toward Ramah. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is the 23rd psalm, and I'm going to read it, but if you know your own translation, you're welcome to join right in. "You anoint my head with oil" is the pointed part of the passage that we're picking up. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading is found in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. Because we now live in the divine light, which is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ, so that our activity is truly pleasing to God. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is written, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord. Our gospel lesson is taken from St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means the pool of the sin. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the one who came, sat, and begged? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how are your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is this man? He said, I do not know. And then brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been born blind. But it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees began to ask him how he received his sight. The man said, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? They were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, this man who opened your eyes? And the man said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man and ask them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the rulers and the Jews. For they had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. The man answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And the man again answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And the leaders reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world begun has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The leaders answered him, "You were born entirely to sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove them out. Jesus heard that the man had been driven out and went and found him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees nearby heard him and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I'm not going to preach a full sermon, but I did want to talk a little bit about these passages, a little different format. When I first was putting this together, I was thinking, I'm going to preach on the spitting God. And I thought, maybe in COVID-19, that's not the best image we need right now, you know, when we're told to practice physical distancing and we're trying to be very careful. And I do believe that that's what God has to do. There's a wonderful meme on Facebook. Not everything is, but this one's great. It has a Jesus knocking on the door in that famous painting. And he says, Debbie, I'm glad you entrusted me your fears over the virus. But Debbie, you still have to wash your hands. And so I think God does leave us the ability to do things. And I think these lessons speak a deeper thing. The reason I'm going to talk about the spitting God is that saliva was a big deal in ancient times. It was sort of like one of the great snake oils that people believed would cure many things. And there is some scientific to that that does help with clotting. That's why we, you know, kids, we cut our finger, we stick our finger in our mouth. It's not the most sanitary thing, but it does have some benefits. And we're going to talk about how God works in the unexpected. And I wanted to expand on that because as I think about all these lessons, they have to be a certain element of what we in the Lutheran church like to call sacrament. And I'm going to give you a quick refresher. And if you know the answer, you raise your hand. I'll let you tell me. But does anyone here know what a sacrament is according to Martin Luther? Put my glass on. Let's see everybody there. Okay. Well, according to Luther, a sacrament has two things going for it. One, it involves an earthly or common element. Secondly, it involves a promise from God that we should do this, and God will therefore cause it to happen. Communion is an obvious one. You have water, right? And in that, the command to go and baptize and to make all nations, to introduce people to the wisdom and grace of God that we believe happens in baptism. Communion is another one that we hold for obvious reasons, too. That Jesus took the bread, took the wine, used them as symbols, and at the Last Supper, and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we Lutherans believe in a real presence. We don't define that very well because it's kind of hard to define exactly what that means, other than we believe when we take communion, Jesus' presence is truly with us in a very special way. But Luther struggled with this idea of sacraments. And actually, for a good trivia question for your Lutheran friends, Luther originally had three, in case you didn't know that. Originally, in addition to baptism and communion, he had confession and forgiveness. Now, the problem Luther had with it was that the visible sign of confession was the pastor. And he didn't want pastors to get a big head, you know, about being part of the sacrament. So he eventually cut that one out. But I kind of wonder if these healing miracles, in fact, all of our stories, don't have that sacramental nature to it. They are a combination of God taking very ordinary things and reminding us that God does extraordinary things through them, and he does them through the ordinary so that we know it's not us, but God at work through us. In our first lesson, in David's case, David was not the choice of all the sons of Jesse to be made king, you know, not the choice at all. In fact, he was left out in the field tending the sheep in the story. But it is the one that God chose. because God looked into his heart and saw something in this person, David, that despite his flaws, God could work through. In our second lesson, we're reminded that we're to walk as children of light, that you and I have been the recipients of this sacramental life, that ordinary as we might be, God has chosen to work through us to do extraordinary things. And of course, this lesson, very clearly, the man born blind would have been the last person chosen, because in his day, as you saw from the beginning of the story, many people assumed that if you had something happen to you, like blindness or some other calamity or illness, it was your fault. Someone sinned, and therefore you got it. And Jesus put that to rest right from the very beginning. Not the way God sees it. But God can take the ordinary. God can take the unexpected. And God can do extraordinary things through them. And if you think about it, the healing involves very much the element of a sacrament. The spit and the mud are very earthly, ordinary elements. And God combines them with Jesus' love and grace and power through healing to make the man able to see. And that's mirrored in the fact, in the story, the man is blind to who the Messiah is, the chosen one, the Son of Man, until it is revealed to him. And then he sees in that image-wise sense. His mind is open, not just his eye. And this is our calling, I think, too, to recognize that you and I are the chosen of God, not because we're better than others and not because we have great strengths or skills, but because God sees in our hearts the ability for him to be at work. There is a space in us, space in all of us, that God can take and use very ordinary things. And in the Old Testament, the anointing with oil was a sign that someone was chosen to be a prophet, priest, or king. That was a visible sign. They didn't have inaugurations in those days. That was sort of the way. When the oil was poured over the head, that person was pronounced to be chosen. Well, we've had water poured over our heads. We have had our foreheads anointed with oil and baptism. We have visibly been chosen by God to be the means by which he becomes known in the world. And in this time of COVID-19, I don't know about you, but I appreciate a lot of things that I probably took for granted. You know, being able to be out with people, being able to share and do things that are very common in the ordinary life as we knew it, and maybe we will again know it soon, I hope. But maybe this time, not don't believe God at all caused it. Please hear that clearly. It's not a punishment upon us or the world. Just like the man was not born blind as a punishment upon his parents. But it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity through our faithfulness, through our endeavoring to remain close to God, despite the disruption of this life, to bear witness to the world, but in the common, ordinary things that we share. Things like conversation, touching, having meals together, et cetera, et cetera. They may be disrupted now, but when we are able to do those again, may they take on a bit of a sacramental nature. The reminder that every time we do these ordinary things for others, and not just for our own benefit, it is where God is at work in our world. It is in the ordinary that God has promised the extraordinary things happen. And it is easy, at least it was easy before last week, to take those things for granted, to be very nonchalant, perhaps, about the ability to gather. And now, maybe, just maybe it'll awaken in us. Just awaken in us how much we are bound to each other, and how much the times we spend with each other matter, and the opportunities for what seems common, but is extraordinary, for God to connect us to each other around the world. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's been interesting for me, at least, to see on the public media, the social media that I'm involved in, there is still some stuff out there. Tone has decreased a little bit. I've noticed a little less tolerance of real crazy things and a little more tolerance about asking what's right for each other. Again, don't think God calls it, but I wonder if when we return to the ordinary and what we practice between now and then are not sacramental moments in our lives. Ordinary things in which God's presence can be made known and lead to extraordinary changes. We have shown that we can get along and we can care for each other. I'm seeing a lot of that around me. And I think that's a wonderful sign in the midst of troubling times that people are concerned for us. When the opportunity is released, when the time is right, may we see in those ordinary, the extraordinary gifts of God to take mud and spittle and make a man see, to pour oil over the head of a shepherd boy and turn him into a king, to make us the visible light in the world. Amen. I would like to have a time of prayer. And again, there will be an opportunity to offer names and also any petitions that anyone would like. So when that time comes, feel free to join in the conversation. Let us pray. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, let us pray for the church, our world, and all in it in need. God of insight, open the hearts of the church and the world to all who testify your deeds of power. This day, your church commemorates Jonathan Edwards, who reached out in love and teaching to many. Raise up voices in your church that are not silent, not overlooked due to age, gender, race, economic status, national origin, whatever divisions have so often divided. Let us listen and look for you at work in others. I will say, hear us, O God, and you may reply, your mercy is great. Hear us, O God. God of insight, in the midst of a time of a pandemic, fear can often overwhelm us. Legitimate concerns can seem to weigh heavily upon us. And yes, indeed, we can turn to you as Lord and entrust into your care that of which we have no control. But we can also practice by our caring for one another, for our not putting others at risk, your love and concern. Help us to, yes, turn over to Jesus all our cares, but also wash our hands and do those things we are capable of. And also let our hearts be stirred in ways that we are able to do so, to have compassion and care. Hear us, O God. God of insight, empower us to care for this good earth that you have given us, that all living things that dwell in it and beneath it, in the waters and in the air, are gifts from you. And spring is rapidly approaching and now in effect, at least some ways. We pray for a rich soil, for crops to grow, rains, but not too much rain, that land suffering drought and dry may be ready to produce a harvest. We ask, Lord, that you would give us guidance to protect the hills and the mountains, the shorelines and the valleys, and all areas that you have gifted to us from damage caused by human activity. Hear us, O God. God of insight, bring peace, your peace, to all people and nations. Anoint leaders who seek goodness, righteousness, and truth on behalf of others. Frustrate the efforts of those who would seek to cause violence or terror or fear to divide us. Hear us, O God. God of insight, you care for our needs even before we ask. Come quickly to all who seek prayer this day. And at this point, I would invite you to lift before God in words or in your hearts all those you know of who need healing power. You have to unmute if you wish to share that with others. Lord God, we ask that you would accomplish healing through the workers of doctors, nurses, physical therapists, nutritionists, World Health Organization, those on the front lines of the battle against the coronavirus and all other ills. We pray that you would help us to learn to tend to that gift of our bodies and lives that you have given us. Hear us, O God. God of insight, help this group, which is not assembled except in your spirit, to lift up the unique gifts of every person whom we encounter. That we be open not to look upon physical capacity or cognitive ability, but to see instead in the heart. See those who are open to your will, those whom you have gifted to us to better our community. As we go forward from this crisis, help us to be creative and brave in making our facilities and our ministries accessible to all. Hear us, O God. I now invite you to offer whatever petitions you'd like to share. Again, you wish to share something publicly, unmute your voice. If not, you may say them silently or to yourself. God of insight, you call out to those who are asleep and awaken them to new life with you. We give you thanks for all your saints, especially those who have been near and dear in our own lives, who are now dead and alive, but alive in you. When the time comes, join us together with them as your children. Help us to be your children in this world and grant us that in the next. Hear us, O God. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear thee, all our prayers, spoken, said silently, hope and dream, as we commend these all and all our fears to you, through Christ our Lord. I'm going to try something. I'm new to this stuff, so it doesn't work. I'm trying to see if I can. I'm going to unmute everyone so that anyone would like to offer any updates, thoughts, greetings to one another. The peace of the Lord be with you. There you go.
Thank you, everyone. Also with you. Thank you for doing this.
That's a delight. Is this, let me just ask, do you find this helpful?
Yes, very much so.
I'm afraid it is
very helpful.
I'm afraid we may be this way for a little while based on everything I'm reading and seeing. We will meet a little bit with the two councils to kind of plot the future, at least audioly, it may be like this, but I don't really see much opportunity to be able to visit together for a while. But,
well, this is plus or minus, I think it's on volume.
We can't see you, George.
George is audio on his iPad right now.
So.
He's trying to figure out what he's doing.
I'll show you the cat. How about that? maybe you can't.
I wanted to ask you all while we were together too, if this is a good time. I just picked the time out of the sky. I wanted to avoid the morning because I figured the broadband was going to be exhausted with everybody doing, you know, this. You know, I'm trying to do it on Sunday morning. I thought maybe Sunday afternoon would make it a little easier for everyone. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Does this work pretty good?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. We're
planning to do this, and I know it's the first week, so maybe more people will get the word out too and everything. Updates, the only thing I know of, Nettie Moyer, remember St. Jacob, is home now with family. She got released from VMRC. I talked to family, so she's back home. I don't have any contact in any of the nursing homes or care facilities right now. Obviously, they don't want anybody in there unless it's after the emergency. So if anyone has talked to any of our folks and wants to share an update they feel is appropriate, please do.
Julia called and said that they're doing good out there.
If you talk to her, tell her I'm not ignoring her. Please let her make sure she knows that.
I will tell her that.
We'll keep posting on the website and Facebook things as they come down from the Senate and other places. And if you run across something you think would be appropriate, please just send it to me. I'm available to call. I plan to try in the next week to call everybody's home numbers or cell numbers and at least be able to one-on-one talk with everybody.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah. Thank you all. You have a great day. God's blessings be upon you. And I do want to real quickly close that was reading back. I think I mentioned this a little bit before about the Luther in 1527 when the plague, it wasn't the bubonic plague, but they called everything the plague. They didn't know what to deal with. And I remember his recommendations were several. One, that one should take care of oneself so as not to harm others. Secondly, to not unnecessarily be about, you know, other than what needed to be, to be the church in ways we were able. And lastly, to take your medicine and hope the doctors that they had in medicine in his days would work. So I find that 500 years later, Luther, they tend to be a number of things. Right. You know, there's only so much we can do, but we don't want to ignore and be harmed to others. So we will do as we can. If you think of other things you'd like to do, maybe we will consider maybe doing some more pure Bible studies or so forth. Please let me know, because I'm kind of open to ideas. And 40 years of ministry almost now, coming up on my 40th anniversary. I've never had an event like this. Through wars and everything else, it's been quite this way. So I'm open to hearing what would be helpful for you all. Okay. Well, if I don't, you'll be seeing notices and all from me, and we'll plan for next Sunday at 4, okay?
Okay.
God bless you.
Sounds good. Okay.
God bless you.
Blessings of Almighty God. Be with you all. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.